Thank you, Judy, here this morning. Open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Ephesians. Apostle Paul is the author. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Lord, that you are a great and gracious God. And we thank you that the saints of God here this morning can open your word. And Father, as we look into it, I pray that you'd feed us with your heavenly manna. Father, help me be a vessel, honors your Son, Jesus Christ, the living word, and honors your holy name, which is high and lifted up. And I pray you bring glory and honor to yourself here today, Lord. I pray for each one that's under the sound of your word, God, that you would work in each heart, but through your Holy Spirit, convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And Lord, may you be honored, and may you bring glory and honor to yourself. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You know, I taught my message this morning, the marks of a growing Christian. God wants us to grow. And by way of just an opening illustration here, has anybody ever seen a sequoia tree before? You've seen some? We all seen the sequoia tree. They are mammoth in size. To give you some idea how big these trees are, the average height would be like 275 feet, although some of them reach 350 feet in height. They are so huge that you could, like the width of the tree, you could put two Toyota Priuses bumper to bumper, and the tree would be wider than the two cars together. That is a big tree. Some of those trees weighed up to 642 tons. That's like putting 107 elephants together. That's how much they weigh. Now, I tell you one thing about sequoia trees. They didn't start out, they weren't always that way. They were a little seed. And they were a little seed that held its ground. Is that true? They're just a little seed that held its ground. And we as God's people, God wants us to grow in him. And wherever you are, wherever he has planted you, that's where you're to grow. And God wants us to grow in him. He wants us to grow in Christ's likeness. He wants us to be like him. And for the Ephesian believers here, the Apostle Paul is writing to them from prison. Now, I would like to share this about the Apostle Paul. That when he wrote to them and he said to them that, turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, Galatians 6, 17. And I'd like just to pick out this verse right here for a moment and then talk about it. Galatians 6, 17 says these words. "From now on, let no one trouble me," the Apostle Paul says, "for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." He bears in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, when he said that, that was referring to his physical scars, wounds that Paul had suffered for the Lord. These were times where Paul said that, I think it was three times minus one, 39 stripes he'd received being whipped or flogged. See, the law says 40 lashes, but to make sure they didn't give him 41, they'd give him 39. The lashes that Paul received for being a Christian. He said he was beaten with rods. Well, what does that mean? Well, somebody took a baseball bat and just pounded him. Beaten with rods. And when he says, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus," why would he endure those things? Because the gospel is what? True. Is the gospel true? The gospel is true. that Jesus was buried and he rose again from the dead the third day. The gospel is true. So why would he bear in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus, that every time they pounded him, he would say inside his heart, you may beat me, but that's not going to diminish the truth that's inside of me. You can try to discourage me, but that's not going to take me away from doing what I know is right. Paul said, I bear in my marks the body of the Lord Jesus, that these wounds that he received from evil men, that they love their sin and they love their darkness and they love their evil, and they wanted to stop him from preaching the gospel because it convicted them of their sins. And they wanted to see him stop, but that did not stop him, because the gospel is what? True. The gospel's true. Do you believe the gospel's true? See, we can say with our lips the gospel's true, but when push comes to shove and somebody says to you, you know, this Christian thing, why do you go to church on Sunday? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? I knew of a Christian one time that just had some Bible verses at their workstation. Just put it up like people put things up. And their employer come by and said, take those things down. I don't like them. What would you do? Do you pull down the scripture verses? Do you leave them there? Would you witness to them? See, sometimes truth is something you have to take and stand by. All that's necessary for evil to triumph is what? Good men to do what? Nothing. And when Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, he didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing. Is there time for some men and women of God to rise up and stand and say, I'm going to stand for truth? I want to bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to give in to the world and the culture. Now, the gospel's true. Is Jesus coming back again?
Yes.
He's coming back again. And sinful men, they can enjoy their sin, but it's only for what? A season. Now, this side of eternity, it might be hard being a Christian. It might be hard. But is it worth it? It's worth it. Because when Jesus comes back, and you're standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he says to you, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Are you going to be glad that you did what was right and you stood by truth? Are you going to be glad? Absolutely, you're going to be glad. Now, sometimes in our Christian lives, we need to keep our perspective right, and we need to see things clearly. And what was Paul's prayer? Now, turn back to Ephesians here. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks. He was the real deal. He was one that loved God and served God, and you couldn't stop him because he knew what he believed, and he knew who was with him, and he knew what he was doing because it was true and it was right and it was the right thing to do. And Paul says, therefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of us, they got saved and they were loving one another. And Paul said to them, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my what?
Prayer.
In my prayers. One of the marks of being a growing Christian is a growing prayer life. Now, the Apostle Paul, right after he got saved, you remember how many years he spent in Arabia? He said, how many years was it? 3 years he spent in Arabia. And I think during that time, that was kind of like his growing time in the Lord, because he was raised in the Old Testament knowledge as a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. I mean, he knew the scriptures, but he didn't know the God of the Word. He didn't know God. But when the Lord Jesus presented himself to him and he got saved, he spent some time growing in his relationship with God. Now, Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. He was a praying man. And if you're going to grow in the Lord, you have to be a praying person. And Paul, as he prayed in his prayers, he thanked God for these Ephesian believers. Now, how did they become believers? He went there and brought the gospel to them. And it wasn't easy. What did they do in Ephesus for 2 hours long in the theaters? They cried out, what? Great is Diana of what? The Ephesians. That was a culture that didn't want to hear the gospel. But he brought it to them because he knew the gospel is what? It's true. It's true. And he brought it to them. And as he thought about how God worked in their lives, how he brought them from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan and the power of God, they may be transformed by faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul just said in his prayers, I do not cease to give thanks for you. Now, you know one of the ways you know you're saved? If you love the brethren and you love God's people and you're thankful for them. That's one way to know you're saved. And Paul, he was very thankful to God that God had worked in their life and saved them and brought them into the kingdom. And as they continued to live for God, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You want to grow as a Christian? How's your prayer life? I heard a fellow say one time, if you want to humble somebody, just ask the average Christian, how's your prayer life? Now, I know what it's like to be busy, okay? And sweetheart, I'm going to talk about you just a second. Pray for me. My wife hates it when I go this way, okay? Pray for me. But it is good. It is good, okay? When she was young, we had little kids. And guess what little kids take up? Your time. And your time. And your time. And your time. And but we had a thing we used to do in our household. We had a quiet hour. What's a quiet hour? It's when mom gets a break. And during the quiet hour, the kids had to read a book. They had to entertain themselves. And that hour is what Nancy spent with the Lord in devotion and prayer. Was that a sacred time for you, sweetheart? That was a sacred time. Now, do you have to make time to have time with God? You have to make time to have time with God. Because if you don't make the time, guess what? It's not going to be there. And if you want to be a growing Christian, you need to have a growing prayer life. And Paul said, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, in the body of Christ, are there needs in the body of Christ? This morning, we prayed for Victor. We prayed for the Ukrainian people. Why? Because we love one another. And we're standing with each other. There are people around you that need your prayers for them. Is that right? Yes. They need your prayers. They need your prayers. And we need to be praying for one another. You want to be a growing Christian? Be a praying Christian. Be a praying Christian. And pray for one another. What does Luke 18:1 say? Can anybody quote Luke 18:1? What does Luke 18:1? Does anybody tell me what Luke 18:1 says? I'll help you out. Men? Okay, men ought always to pray and not lose heart or not to faint. Luke 18:1. What is that? Men ought. What's that next word? Always to what? Pray. And that's what God wants us to always be praying people. Because as light and darkness collide with each other, good and evil, right and wrong, it's a battle going on over the hearts and souls of people. And Paul was a praying man. A praying man. Now, I don't know this. I'm just speculating. But I bet you Paul had some calluses on his knees. And why do I say that? Because he was a praying man. And we need some praying men and women that will pray one for another and for the needs that we have and for the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom. Now, he's praying for them. And now, listen to his prayers. How do your prayers measure up to his prayer here? I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is what he prayed, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, God the Father, God the Son, may give to you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, of knowing God. The Spirit of wisdom and knowledge. Now, are there some ignorant people in the world when it comes to knowledge of God? There's lots of them out there. They don't know God. They think they know God. And Jesus says, you draw nigh to me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. God wants us to then give him the spirit of wisdom and of knowledge and the revelation of him, and of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you finally see it, you finally get it, you finally understand it, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory and the inheritance in the saints. Now, we as believers, are we fighting a battle in this world? What are our battles? Now, Paul said he bears in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. His battle was fighting for truth and righteousness and the gospel. You know, as we fight this battle, people need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and to understand. So, if you're fighting this battle, what is at the end of the road for believers? What is at the end of the road for us?
Heaven.
Okay. What's this?
Eternal life.
Heaven, eternal life. What's at the end of the road for us? All good stuff. Jesus. Okay? God? Crowns of rewards? How about rest? And peace? No more pain, Mary says. You know, well, do we have something to look forward to? In this world, we shall have what? Tribulation, Jesus said. But be of good cheer. He says, I've overcome the world. So, in your seeking the knowledge that God may give you the spirit of wisdom, you understand the revelation and the knowledge of him, that you understand God, that your eyes are open, that you can eyes can see the end of the road where you're going. Because between where we are now and the end of the road, there's a lot of pain and problems. But my focus isn't on the pain and the problems. Where's my focus? On the end of the road. I want to see Jesus one day. I want to be with him forever. No more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death. That's my focus. That's where I'm looking for. And when pain and sorrow and sickness hit us on this side of eternity, I want my eyes of my understanding being enlightened that I may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. What am I going to get when I get there? What's my inheritance? This is all these things we mentioned is going to be our inheritance. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Now, between now and then, how am I growing? It's God's power working in me. It's God's power helping me understand the scriptures. It's God's power helping me to pray. You ever had a situation where you say, Lord, I don't even know how to pray? You ever been there? You don't even know how to pray for a situation. And sometimes you just have to cry out, God, you're much wiser than I am. You understand what I don't even understand here. Lord, but this is what we got to deal with. How do we sort this out? What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? God's power is awesome and incredible and without end. Now, can God be trusted?
Yes.
Can he be trusted?
Yes.
He can be, absolutely. And when you cast all of your cares upon him, you're trusting him. God doesn't explain himself sometimes. He's his own interpreter. He explains himself. And he doesn't have to explain himself to us on this side of eternity because he's God. But we trust him that his exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. God's on my side. I know he's able. And he's going to work all things together for good in my life. Not that all things are good, but they can work together for good. According to the working of what? His mighty power. Job in the Old Testament, he suffered one calamity after another, after another, after another, after another. And in the process of his friends encouraging him, right? Job finally got to the point where he says,
you know, God, I want to talk to you about this situation I'm in here. And then one time, God showed up in a whirlwind and said, Job, you have your day in court here, but I've just got a few questions for you. And Job listened to one question, two questions, three questions, four questions, and the question just kept pounding him. And at the end of, I think it's 150-some questions, Job just put his hand on his mouth and said, Lord, I don't have an answer for one of them. And Job said, I'm just ashes and dust before you. And Job just put his hand on his mouth. Because when it comes to God's working, because it says here, according to the working of his mighty power, we don't understand God's workings. Job thought he did. God says, well, Job, tell me about the creation. Were you there when I created the heavens and the earth? Were you there, Job, when I did this? And Job didn't have any answers. The marks of a growing Christian, which worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly places. If God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is he going to raise you from the dead? Absolutely. Far above all principalities, power and might, dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I have a question. Are you growing in your Christian life? Sequoia trees, they're just a little seed that held its ground and grew. And as a Christian, you stand your ground and you grow in him. Every day, you grow in him. For Paul, he was in prison. But guess what? The word of God was not bound. He knew who he believed, and he knew that God worked all things together. And he could write to these Ephesians here, saying, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul had no regrets of what he's done with his life and what God did in the Ephesians believers. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray as the saints of God that we would grow in you. And Father, we battle for righteousness in this world of sin and darkness and sorrow. We are the saints of God, that we have the light, the truth, and the hope that people need. Father, you're on our side, and we are victors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, may each of us know the exceeding great power that you have for each of us over sin. Father, we don't have to be in bondage to sin. You can break the chains of sin in our lives. And Father, help us to walk in victory and not in defeat. Help us to know the exceeding power that you have for us as believers. And Father, may we grow in Christ's likeness. Not my will, but thy will be done. Father, work in our lives that we may grow in you and be faithful to our church and be faithful to our devotions and be faithful to our God, that we might grow in Christ's likeness. And Father, may we honor you as you'll honor us one day when you're in your presence. That Father, we may do the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So Lord, help us toward this end, that we may be strong in faith, in honoring our God, and advancing your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our closing hymn.